Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
It's very evident that we've been in the presence of God today. And I want to say that there's nothing I can say or do that takes place of that. Thank you, Jesus, for making your presence known to us. Oh, something about just hearing the prayers of people going up, because our God can hear them all. And He's heard you today. Oh, good morning. Yeah, you look good out there. This is, I'm just kind of just sitting here. I get a point of view that you don't get. And that's just all of your faces. And it's good to see you. And we're going to dive into another part of our series, another part of our what we've been going through. Does the Bible say that? You know, we've been kind of, over the last few weeks, been diving into different topics, different things. And so if you're just now joining us for the very first time, particularly in this series, what we've been doing is we've been looking at kind of going through different church sayings or ideas or maybe questions that maybe we've had, things that we kind of just say in the church, or maybe we just say them and we really don't ever think about them, you know. And so we've just kind of been going through these things. So some of the stuff that we've gone through already over the last few weeks and that we've answered are things like, does God help only those that help themselves, right? So we kind of dived into that. You know, a couple weeks ago we looked at, is there prosperity in the gospel? Right? So we kind of dived into that. And then last week we looked at, where does judgment properly fit into the kingdom of God? That was a fun one. And so today, we're going to be diving into this question. If God is all powerful, why is there suffering in the world? Right? If He's all powerful, why is there suffering in the world? All right, so what we're going to do real quick is take a quick poll. All right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask a question, and yes, I really do want you to raise your hands. All right, so it's not rhetorical. I know a lot of stuff up here, usually when the pastor or the preacher asks a question, it's rhetorical. This is not rhetorical. All right, so I want you to raise your hands. How many of you have ever experienced suffering at some point in your life? Okay, all right. And the ones that didn't raise your hand, we now know are liars. So, okay. All right, great. I'm only kidding. Kind of. All right. I think, you know, it's pretty amazing to think that when we ask a question like that, okay, how many people have ever experienced suffering? I think it's safe to assume that, particularly maybe in a room this size, you're going to have a lot of hands that go up, because we know that suffering is really kind of a part of life, isn't it? It's kind of a part of the journey. It's expected to happen. It's a part of things. And so a really interesting thing about suffering really kind of is that suffering is relative. It's kind of a relative thing. Here's what I mean. You see, when I asked that question, okay, how many of you have experienced suffering before, and the hands went shotting up like that, I promise, probably most likely, you probably had something that popped up into your head when you were raising your hand. Oh yes, I have experienced that, and that whatever it was popped up in there as you were raising your hand. Now, it could have been something that's happening right now. Maybe you're in a season of suffering now. And so when I say, hey, when I ask that question, oh yeah, Captain, absolutely. I'm in that season. But then there was also maybe something that isn't right now. Maybe it was something in the past, something that's already happened, but it still holds a heavy weight on your heart. Oh, I don't want to do that again. And so, yeah, I've experienced that before, Captain. I know what that is. And, you know, it could be something like losing a job that's led to financial hardships for you and your family, right? It could be maybe losing a loved one that isn't there anymore. Or maybe it could be when the doctor came in and shared some news that you were not really wanting to hear. Now, for some, it could be homework on a Friday night. Oh, the agony, the suffering, or maybe going to a restaurant when they serve Pepsi instead of Coke. Why would they do that? All right? Or maybe it could be just something like running out of gas on the highway. All right? We see these circumstances, no matter what they are, right? No matter if it's this or that, these circumstances lead us to ask the question, usually it does, ask the question, God, why me? Why me? Why? What did I do to deserve this? Right? We've asked these questions. Why are you punishing me? It might also even make us ask, if God has the power to make suffering go away, why doesn't he? Why doesn't he just make it go away? I mean, gosh, why can't I, as a pastor, as a preacher, just say, oh, you're in suffering, cool, just do this 3 times and it'll go away? But I can't. I can't tell you that. So if God is all power, why don't you just take it away? Just prove yourself, Lord. Hey, if you really are God, do this and I'll believe for the rest of my life. If you start bartering, perhaps, you know, you ever been in that position before? Oh, Lord, if you do this for me, then I will fill in the blank. Have you been in these positions before? If you can just show yourself, show your might like this, Lord, and then I'll know. Right? I mean, and I'm going to tell you that these types of questions, these types of things are completely, and they are normal. They is things that a normal human being does. It's the things that we ask, and it's wonder. Let me just say this now, is that if you're in that position, you're asking those questions, you're starting to, listen, welcome to the club, all right? We've all been there. And I think if we're being honest, all of us have been in that position. Actually, if we're being honest, and I really encourage us to do that, by the way, is to be honest. But if we're being honest, the question I think that we like to ask the most isn't why is there suffering in the world, but why do I have to experience suffering? Why do I have to go through that? Suffering is very different when it's yours. We can empathize, right? When you have a friend, a family, when someone else is suffering, we can try our best to empathize, have compassion, to empathize. What can I do? How can I fix it? But it's very different when it's yours. You see, I want you to take some comfort this morning. I want you to take comfort in knowing there is an answer. But it's not one that we're going to like. That sounds great, doesn't it? I always tend to think, at least the way I kind of choose to like to choose to live or to choose to operate, is I always tend to think that there are three different types of news. You ever been in a position when someone comes in the room and says, "All right, listen, I've got some good news and some bad news," right? You know, we kind of got in that little situation there. Listen, I actually kind of think that there's a third category to that, right? So we know when someone says, "Hey, I've got good news," you're like, "Cool, I like that. I like good news." "Hey, I've got bad news." Okay, we may have to skip that one, all right? You know, bad news. But see, I actually think that there's a third category, which is hard news. We got good news, we got bad news, and we have hard news. Now, hard news is something that we don't want to hear, but we need to hear. We don't want to hear it, but we need to hear it. Hard news usually requires us to overcome something. It requires us to take action or a step or a movement. And it's usually in a direction we don't want to go. And so it could be like evaluating maybe your leadership style. Maybe that was some hard news that you learned or discovered about yourself. Or it could be reevaluating the way that you treat your family. And maybe I could do a little bit better in that category. Or it could be finally just seeing that, you know what? I'm just not really that good with money. And I need to go find help and someone that can coach me, right? These are hard news things. Hard news is something we don't want to hear, but we need to hear. And so here is the hard news about suffering. Suffering is a necessity for spiritual growth. Yes, Lord? Suffering is a necessity for spiritual growth. We don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. But we need to hear that. You can't grow spiritually without suffering. Because suffering is where faith is made real. Here's what I mean. You know, something has to usually happen, right, in order for us to go into suffering. Right? If we don't, usually it's not just a, you know what, today is a beautiful day. I think I'm going to go and suffer. All right? I don't think that's a normal thing that many of us are going to go do. Usually there has to be something outside that does something, right, to us that creates us to go into a suffer. See, that thing is called, whatever it is, when we go into an act of suffer, we call that a crisis. There has to be some type of crisis that then inflicts something on us. And so a crisis is something outside of your control, that has created a situation that has brought you pain and discomfort. And this is what a crisis is. I think we can all agree with that. And so the suffering part of this equation comes from the fact that you can't control the outcome. You can't control it. Because if you could control the outcome, whatever the crisis is, whatever the news was, whatever the hardship was, whatever the crisis is, if you could just get the worst possible news and control the outcome, we would treat it differently. But what happens is we we take the news, with the crisis, and we can't change the outcome. And so if we could, we would. But we can't. Here's one. A crisis will always test the depth of your faith. A crisis will always test the depth of your faith. Do you want to know how deep or how shallow your faith is? Go through a crisis. That'll show you. And in fact, that'll show everyone on how deep or how shallow my faith is. There is nothing in this life that makes our faith more real than a crisis, than receiving news, hard news, a situation, something to overcome. There's nothing that makes our faith more real. And this is because suffering removes all of the distractions, all of the comforts that we have created around us. You see, what we do, particularly even now in today's world, is that we try to find a way from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, we try to find a way to either get us entertained or distracted to the end of the day. How can we just get through it? And so we've created, I mean, gosh, it's so easy just to do this. And then particularly if you're going through a crisis of suffering or depression or hurt or pain, we tend to want to navigate towards something that will what? Take our mind off of it. And so what we do is we enter into a fake world for just a minute. And so we turn it on, and then we're sucked into whatever it is, right? And it's great, we can kind of forgive, we may even laugh a little bit, right? But then the moment the credit starts to roll up, what happens? It's a reminder that all of that was fake. And what you're going through is real. It didn't go away. It's just sitting there. As we were distracting ourselves, it was just waiting. I got time. This is a good one. I like this episode. It's fine. But the moment the credit rolls, because our suffering knows that the credits are going to roll, it's waiting for us. Ah, now we're back. And it just comes in. This is because suffering will always remove the distractions, the comforts. It is patient. Oh my goodness, it's so patient. It's not in a rush. It's not in a hurry to try to get out. It wants to hang out in the lobby and talk for hours. All right? This is what suffering is. It just wants to stay there. And it brings us back. And what it does is it removes these things and it brings us back to whatever matters the most to us. Whatever that is. Whatever it is. The suffering part is because whatever matters the most to us is either being taken away from us or is being hurt or damaged, something is changing, and whatever it is, whatever matters the most to us is now being affected, and so we go into suffering, we go into pain, we go into discomforts, and it's not great, but it's there, it's just sitting there. And this right here, I mean, listen, a crisis, there's also another thing that it does. There is something else a crisis will do to us. It is where your true character is forged, is in the middle of a crisis. When you're going through it, if we have tunnel vision, we may say, there's no way we're going to get to the end of this. There's no finish line here. And this is my new normal now. I'm just going to be living in this crisis. I can't even possibly see where it's going to end. But in that crisis, that right there is where your true character is forged, is being shaped and pushed together and being rolled around and being shaken around and doing this. That is when the real you is being pieced together. Good or bad. But it's for the real you. It's not the fake you. It's not the stage you. Right? It's not the public you. That's not what that is. No. It's the real you. The one that no one is looking at. The one that only is completely raw and that God has exposure to. That right there is being forged and pieced together. Which leads me to our next hard news. Sometimes God won't rob us of the spiritual growth that's going to take place, no matter how much we ask Him. When we're in the midst of it, Lord, take this away. Lord, take this away. Please. And God won't rob us of the growth that's going to come from it. He's not answering me. He's silent. He's this. He's that. And in the midst of it, He said, you're almost there. I don't know. You're almost there. He doesn't want to rob us of the growth. Because you see, in suffering, when we're in suffering, God is always offering you a path to salvation. You see, our ability to see the path, that's where it gets a little wild. There is always a path to salvation in suffering. But our ability to see the path will depend on the depth of our faith before the crisis happens. Once we're in the crisis, now we have to engage in our faith. Now, yes, it can grow, and the depth can grow, and the faith can grow, but when we start at the beginning of the crisis, we're going to be attacking, we're going to be experiencing it on whatever depth of our faith was the moment it started. And then that right there is where we enter and go into battle. Suffering always points to salvation. That's because it was suffering that pointed to salvation in the first place. You see, it was present in the cross. And it has been trying to point us back to the cross ever since. You see, when we hurt, when we cry, when we are in pain, suffering is telling, the act of suffering is telling us, I was there at the cross and I saw it on His face too. But I know how this story ends. And it doesn't end here. Suffering is constantly bringing us back, pointing us, pushing us back to Psalm 34. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. In our pain, in our hurt, in our suffering, suffering points to the cross every time. Now some of you, including me, oh gosh, I needed to hear this. But some of you need to hear what I'm about to say. You can be in suffering and in the presence of God at the same time. The presence of suffering does not mean the absence of God. Let me show you what I mean. You see, in John chapter 9, it was read beautifully. Thank you for that. But in John chapter 9, we have the story of Jesus healing a man who was blind from birth. I mean, from the day that he was born, from his first cry, he hasn't been able to see. I mean, this guy has never been able to even see when we refer to, it's a beautiful sunset today or sunrise today. He doesn't know what that looks like. He doesn't have contact. He hears the birds, but he doesn't see them flying in the air. He hasn't been able to see anything his entire life. He has suffered without his sight, and the only thing that he can do, the only thing that he can do is beg. This is it. That's all he can do is beg and hope that others will have pity on him. He can't see, so he can't go to work. He can't work, so he can't provide. And he can't provide, so he begs. He just begs. Help me. Help me. Have pity on me. He's just there begging. It's a cycle of suffering. It's just a cycle. We've been there. We've been in that cycle before. That thing that's never going to go away. That whatever it is, that cry, whatever it is, it just keeps coming back over and over. There is no end. My eyes will not open. There is no hope for me. I will wake up tomorrow and I will still be brokenhearted. I will still feel the loss. It's not going to be better. I can't carry it. But then, John chapter 9. Jesus sees the man. There he is. He sees him. And then the scripture says that Jesus had compassion for him. Not pity. Can you help a beggar? Can you help a poor? He didn't have pity. Pity, he had compassion. And so then Jesus, the scripture says, he goes and he stands right in front of the man. He's right there. He's there just holding his hand. He's right there in front of him. Right in front of his face, Jesus is there. But the man can't see him. He can't see him. He can't see past his suffering that Jesus is right there. He's right there. The one who can heal him, the one who can end his suffering, the one that can change everything, is right in front of him, right there. And he can't see him. The presence of suffering does not mean the absence of God. He's always right there. Right there. You see, far too often, we try to end our suffering by putting our faith in the people like the disciples. Did you see what these guys were doing? All that Jesus is there, he's just focused on the man, just focused on him, right in front of him, while Jesus was there, just present with him. What they're doing on the side over here is they're trying to find a theological solution to the man's problem. Like, we got to figure this out. I mean, they're over there, the whole group of them are over there together trying to figure out what type of sin did this man do to become blind. And they're over there trying to figure it out. Hey, what kind of sin, Peter, John, what kind of sin do you got to do? I don't want to do that sin. I like my eyesight. And they're back there over there arguing. And in fact, they kind of come over and say, hey, what did he do to deserve this? And so they go to Jesus. They ask him. Jesus is there trying to pay attention to them. Jesus, Gee, come over here. Come over. Hey, listen, we've been talking. We've been trying to figure it out. We have a question. Who sinned? Was it this man? Did he sin? Or was it his parents? Maybe they sinned. What did they do? I mean, listen, we're all dying to know. What was the sin that deserved this something so bad? And then Jesus just looks at his disciples. And he just says to them, nothing. He didn't do anything. Sometimes, bad things happen just because they happen. You didn't do anything for it to happen to you. It just happened. It's not a sign of your faith or your lack of faith. And you know what? Sometimes when something bad happens, it may not even be necessarily because of or some punishment related to your spiritual journey. But make no mistake that when something happens, when the crisis knocks on your door, when the news enters into the room, when the thing that's out of your control is now completely see-through, when these things, make no mistake that when it happens, Jesus won't be far away. He's right there. He's right there. And listen, you're going to think that the suffering, because when you think that the suffering is never going to go away, I'm never going to get over this, I'm never going to get past this, this is too heavy, my heart will not be mended after this. Whatever that is, let me tell you now that there will be a day, there will be a day, and I'm saying even now, that there will be a day when Jesus is going to be undeniably right there in front of you. And he's going to be there just for you. Listen, people are going to try to figure it out. The theologians are going to try to figure it out. Listen, all you have to do is it. And Jesus, don't listen to them. I'm right here. I'm right here. Look at me. Because what's going to happen is that he is going to do something that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Something that all of the theologians are going to try to find an answer for. One that says, well, listen, if he's going to do it, it's going to look like this on this day, and it will probably come in this form, and then we just got to realize that when it happens, then you have to do this, and then your suffering will then go into this. Listen, God is not someone to just be studied. He is the all-powerful God of the universe that is to be worshipped. Listen, I can interpret the scripture. I can read the scripture, but I'm going to tell you right now is that I still think that God can do things that I can't even comprehend, that I can't even figure out. I'm trying to figure out, listen, I think I know what God's going to do. And then sometimes God's just going to go, Paul, you've got it wrong. You've got it wrong. Listen, I can even do greater than what you think I can do. And there is going to be a time when God will show his strength. And he will come and say, listen, the church has been saying this, or the preacher's been saying this, or your buddy's been saying this, or this. Listen, I'm telling you right now that I'm even bigger than what they're saying. That I can even do it even greater than what they are thinking I can do right now. And you know what? I don't have to follow their rules. I don't have to follow their steps or their systems. I don't have to follow their denominational theology on this thing. I am God. And I am right in front of you. Look at me. Look at me. Because you're just going to notice that one day, when you're in the middle of your suffering and you can't see just one day, you're just going to feel His hands putting the stuff all over your eyes. Is that mud? What is that? You're just going to feel it. And that voice on the other side, He's going to say, go wash off. Go wash off. And when you do, when you start to take off all that stuff, all that darkness, all that stuff, it's been so heavy, it's been so heavy. And you take it off. You're going to experience something that you didn't think was possible. You're going to see light. I was right here the whole time. I can see the light. And when that happens, I knew You'd do it. I knew You were there. In that moment, my friends, that moment, that's what God doesn't want to rob you of. Could He take the pain and suffering away at the beginning? Yep, He could. And maybe sometimes He will. He's God. But I'm going to tell you, my experience is so that He doesn't rob us of falling in love with our true love again. Oh yeah. That's what you can do. I'd forgotten that. I've been in the faith for too long. I'm just an old man in my faith now. I'd forgotten that. I thought, in fact, You had forgotten me. And that's when He says, never. I've never forgotten you. This morning, I know that there's stuff that you're going through. Some of it I know. Some of you call and pastor. This is what I'm going through. And we can be together and we can pray and I can read scripture and I can pray for you on your behalf. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing greater than going to Jesus. And so today may be a day where you need to take the stuff out of your eyes. Just to get it out. I'm tired of carrying that around. Also, Josh is going to sing. Lead us into a chorus. And I am going to invite, without hesitation, that if you are right now experiencing that, if your eyes are just covered in stuff and you can't see, then come so that your eyes can be opened and see Jesus' face.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.